This is from the Adi Lila, second chapter, well, third chapter, fourth chapter of the Adi Lila. Today I'm going to give a general overview, which means I'm going to repeat myself a few times. So if you find myself repeating, then you know why. But from the very Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is about Lord Chaitanya, is supposed to be our postgraduate study because it's so simple. So it takes sometimes lifetimes for us to become simple so we can understand. It starts out with Bhagavad Gita, which seems quite philosophical and complicated, and progresses to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which seems half philosophical and half pastimes, and then it goes into the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which no one can understand. It's not a lot of pastimes, but especially when we get into the Antya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing Govardhan, of the Chattaka Parvata, running towards the Chattaka Parvata at the speed of the mind, reciting the verse about the glories of the Govardhan Hill, his body erupting, the pores of his body erupting like kandamba flowers, blood and perspiration oozing out of the pores of his body simultaneously. He's running at the speed of the mind towards the Govardhan Hill, which we thought was the Govardhan Hill. Then he slows down because of his ecstasy to the speed of the wind. He falls unconscious on the shore of the ocean of Jagannath Puri, and his mind goes to Vrindavan. The devotees are quite in anxiety about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's running towards the hill. All of them, headed by Srup Damodar, race after him. But he's going so fast they can't catch him until he becomes stunned with ecstasy, falls down on the beach of the Jagannath Puri ocean, and there he's unconscious, and the devotees are in anxiety. They start taking the sand off his body. They start chanting the Hare Krishna mantra into his ear. He comes to half external consciousness, and he's wondering why they're all disturbing him like this. He said, "Why have you come here? I heard the sound. I was saw Govardhan Hill. I ran towards Govardhan Hill, and when I was going there, I saw Krishna with the coward boys. They were going up Govardhan Hill, and suddenly the gopis appear. The gopis appear. I heard the and." They were asking me to pick flowers while Srimati Radharani and Krishna were entering into a cave. Then suddenly he made this loud noise and he brought me back here. So then at this time, Brahmananda Bharati, Bhagavan, what was his name? Who was lame. He was a... Not Brahmananda. Well, Brahmananda was already there, Brahmananda Puri. And this is an elderly devotee. He was lame, so he was came there the last. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up, he saw him, and he became very embarrassed. And he said, "Why have you all come here?" And they said, "Just to see you dance." So these are the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're revealing his internal mood of separation from Krishna and Vrindavan. And this is not so easy to understand. It has to be experienced. Therefore, these external reasons, beginning with Advaita Acharya was sitting, Advaita Acharya came first, because before Krishna manifests himself, he generally sends his parents and his friends and his associates. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advent in himself And so Advaitacharya appeared many years before. As a matter of fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appearing during the full eclipse, then Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya were dancing in ecstasy by the Ganges. Because whenever there is an eclipse, people in India would go to the Ganges and bathe in the Ganges and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to manifest the holy name in this age, at his appearance, he had everyone chant the holy name. Advaitacharya was much older, but he was seeing the whole world was being degraded. Could you imagine? He thought the whole world was degraded. Imagine if he took his appearance day now. What would he think? He'd think that it's hopeless. He'd probably take out his Sudarshan chakra and that would be the end of the pastime. Luckily, he took birth around 500 years ago and it didn't seem as hopeless as it does now. And he thought, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu. Generally it says he's a combination of Lord Shiva and Mahavishnu, who manifests the energies of this world. Sat Shiva, Lord Shiva from the spiritual world, and Mahavishnu. He's a combined manifestation. In any case, he thought, I'm not powerful enough to deliver these fallen souls in this age. So think about what kind of difficult cases we are. God himself doesn't think he can deliver us. But he thought, at least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, he can deliver the souls in this age. The full Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he sat down by the Ganges, or at least you can say, to his Shaligar and Srila, he was constantly praying for the deliverance of these fallen souls in this age, that Krishna would come and manifest himself as an incarnation and deliver the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. And he was so much in anxiety, he was praying so hard that he awoken Aniruddha lying on the shore of the ocean of milk. I mean, that's loud. When you awaken God, he's sleeping on the shore of the ocean of milk, or in the ocean of milk. And Aniruddha, because through him, or Sri Dakshaya Vishnu, all the incarnations come, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came at the request of Advaitacharya. Now, what is the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Lord Krishna's pastimes that were displayed 5,000 years ago? Can anyone say what the difference is? What's that? Yeah, maybe different mood. But what's the actual pastimes are obviously different. There is the Rasa dance and there is the Sankirtan dance. In one sense, they're exactly the same, but externally, the men don't generally dance with the girls. Or at least none of the men usually claim to be Krishna, and the ladies usually don't claim to be gopis. But the same effect is there. In other words, the dancing in Sankirtan and the Hari Nam is not different from the Rasa dance. Because in the Rasa dance, the participants are feeling great transcendental ecstasy, especially in the association of Radha and Krishna, and the participants in the Hari Nam, they're feeling great ecstasy because they're associating with Radha and Krishna, both in the form of the holy name and the form of the Panchatattva. But what did the Panchatattva add? What does the Panchatattva add to the Rasa dance that wasn't there in the Rasa dance? What's that? Oh yes, that's true. But what did the Panchatattva, what is, when we're doing Harinam, we're chanting Hare Krishna. So Srimati Radharani and their associates are there. Krishna and Śrīmatī Rārāṇī.
Inviting others.
What's that?
Inviting others.
Inviting others. Yeah, handing out invitations. At the Rasa dance, they weren't handing out invitations. But even more than that, because at Shiva Sangha, they weren't handing out invitations either.
Yes. No discrimination, maybe, that everyone can join in, come along.
Well, yeah, in one sense. There's Audarya, compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. But in one sense, well, therefore we have to, those are more or less external, in one sense, inviting everyone to join. So now I'm going to go back again, retrace myself. In the, I believe it's the third chapter, the external reasons for the appearance of Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu. And that will explain about Advaita Acharya falling out for Krishna, incarnate himself to deliver the fallen soul. In every Kali Yuga, the method is Harinam. Krishna always comes in Kali Yuga, usually comes in a forearm form, a blackish form, and he chants Hare Krishna. But only in this Kali Yuga, once in a day of Brahma, Caitanya Mahaprabhu comes in a golden form and spreads the Sankirtan movement by chanting Hare Krishna. The difference is that in this age, Caitanya Mahaprabhu is in a different mood than Lord Krishna or Vishnu, and that he's feeling separation from Radha and Krishna or from Krishna and Vrindavan. In the other ages, by chanting Hare Krishna, one can get the four kinds of liberation. Because there's no indication of any higher mood other than becoming than Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Therefore, without Caitanya Mahaprabhu showing how to feel separation from Krishna in Vrindavan, then there's no way we're going to understand it. Because Caitanya Mahaprabhu, when we remember him and his associates performing Sankirtan or preaching all any of his activities, then along with that is intense separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. That way we're not only learning about Krishna, we're learning about how to feel separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And that separation will be explained in the internal reasons for Radha, for Caitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So in one sense, as in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains about, for instance, in the, right before I came here, I decided to do my daily reading of the Bhagavad Gita, although I thought I was going to talk about very esoteric topics. But I decided to read the Bhagavad Gita anyhow. And so the Bhagavad Gita is exactly the verse that what I was up to, which was necessary to explain about this particular aspect. So that verse is in the 14th chapter, where Krishna says, well, Arjuna first of all asks, Karalingasthin gunane tan, Atito bhavati pravo, Kimachari Gatam Shaivam Tringunan Utavaratite. So Krishna is explaining about something that we can most obviously see. We can see when we're in ignorance, we can see when we can experience when we're in passion, and we have some idea what goodness is like. And therefore it's easy more or less to see where we're at, and therefore when we see where we're at, there's a much better possibility of making some progress by changing at least our mood, if not our external activities, if not our mood. We can catch ourselves. Oh, now I'm in passion, now I'm in ignorance, now I'm in goodness, now I'm in transcendence. So we can more or less, by the 14th chapter, the three modes of material nature, get some idea about what we're doing, where we're at, where we're going, what the results of our activities will be. So now Arjuna is asked, what about a self-realized person? What does he do? How does he act? How does he feel about everything? And how does he actually transcend these modes of material nature? Then Krishna says, I probably got the first word wrong, but Prakasham cha puritim cha moham eva cha pandava edveshi sab sampratitani nivritani kamshati udasinavirasino gunayo na vichayate guna vartanti ikevam yogatishtati nengate samaduka sukhasvasta samalostrasna kanchana tulya priyapriyo diras tulya nandatni samstati manapamrapni Manapama, manapama, piyo, tuyas, tuyanantakni, sams, tuyamit rari pakshayo, sarvaram bakrit yagi gunati taksu uchite. You can translate that?
No.
Yes. One who doesn't hate elimination or prakasham cha, nivritim cha, or detachment, or illusion when they appear, or longs for them when they disappear. In other words, one who's not attached and doesn't have hatred. Now, how can you tell if someone's attached or if he has envy and hatred? How can you tell? Can anyone say? If someone's envious of you, how can you tell? You can't tell. Unless you're a Paramatma, you can't tell. Because these are internal. They're moods, they definitely exist. Sometimes by he looks at her. He's not in a good mood today. But he may be smiling and thinking. You can't really tell sometimes. So there's internal feelings that people have, you can't tell. Prakasham cha, puritim cha, moham eva cha pandava, edveshti sampuritani nirritani kanshiti. Udasinadvarasinam gunayovam vichalyate, gunavartani ijeva yogatishtite nengate, samadukha sukhasvasta samalostrasna kanshina, tulya priyapriyo diras tulya mitrari kaksheo. That we can see if a person's friendly towards others, if he's not overly attached to material objects, he lives simply, he's friendly towards others, he seems to be equally minded, he doesn't become distressed unnecessarily. So externally it's much easier to see by symptoms, whether one is advanced or not. Internally, we may not be able to see the mood. So externally, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has the same Sankirtan movement. People are dancing, they're chanting, etc. But sometimes, just by the external activities, we can't tell what the internal mood of someone is. Someone may be taking part in the Sankirtan mission, but they haven't really understood the internal mood that we're supposed to possess. For instance, there was one person, his name was Ramdas. Does anyone know why his name was Ramdas? Why was he called Ramdas?
A great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. He was a great devotee.
So, he was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. That's a good guess. Anyway. Now he's wrong. Name Ramdas because that's what his mother named him at birth.
He was chanting Ram, Ram.
That's right, exactly. He was always chanting Ram. Gopal Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, who was his father, who was his uncle actually. Who was Raghunath Bhatt Goswami's uncle? Prabodhananda Saraswati. Great devotee of, what was that? Maybe I'm wrong. It could, anyhow. Maybe it was Gopal Gopal. Maybe it was Gopal. Anyhow, his parents were great devotees. He was a great devotee of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. He was going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the way he met Ram Das, who was always chanting. Guess what he was always chanting? Ram, 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 Ram. Sometimes he chanted Hari Ram, but mostly it was Ram, Ram, Ram. Day and night he chanted the name of Ram. Raghunath Bhat Goswami, not Goswami yet, but Raghunath Bhat. He was a little embarrassed that this man, he's always offering me service. But he seems to be a great devotee of Lord Ram because he's always chanting Ram's name. Therefore he said, please don't give me so much service, I'm embarrassed. But Ram said, no, I am a servant of you. It's my duty to serve the great personalities. Therefore, it's my duty to serve you. So all during the way, the distance, and indeed it must have taken a long time. He came from a far distant place in India. There were no trains, there were no, practically they didn't take a bullock cart, they were just walking. So this took, I guess sometimes it took months to arrive at Jagannath Puri. When they arrived there, Raghunath Bhat went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon him by blessing him, by embracing him, by talking about Krishna's pastimes with him. One day, Raghunath Bhat induced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see this Ram Das. Ram Das went to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not pay Ram Das any particular attention. Why? Because Ram Das was always chanting Ram, but he was thinking that one day by this chanting of Ram, I'll become Ram. He was a Mayavadi, although a very good Mayavadi. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't pay him any special attention because he was an impersonal. Similarly, we're adopting the methodology of chanting as our primary method of making spiritual advancement in this age, but it's not sufficient. We also have to develop the internal mood that's necessary to actually get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's full blessings. Therefore, that blessings is the mood of unalloyed service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is introducing not only the chanting of Hare Krishna, but Anyabhilasita Shunyam Jnana Karma Diravritam Anukulena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Uttama Bhakti. By understanding offenseless chanting, very easily we come to the platform of Uttama Bhakti, where we can understand the more internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ultimately of Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. Therefore, the Sankirtan movement has two parts. One is the internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's intimately connected with the external reasons for his appearance. The internal reasons may be divided into two. One is to spread the Sankirtan movement, and the other is to appear as an incarnation for Kali Yuga. But that spreading of the Sankirtan movement means the spreading of not only the chanting of the holy names, but also the knowledge by which one can take full advantage of the holy name and ultimately become eligible to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, even in the highest mood of Madhurya Rasa. Madhurya Rasa, here in this material world, Madhurya Rasa is the highest form of sense gratification. And in the spiritual world, Madhurya Rasa is the highest form of selfless service. From the very beginning, we could say Dasya Rasa, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beginning with introducing the Dasya Rasa by distributing the Sankirtan movement to others. The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was an Arpitam Charim Charat Karuna Yavitirna Kalo. Anyone know what that means?
He distributed something which never, no other avatar has distributed.
Well, for a long time it was. An Arpitam Charim Charat Karuna Yavitirna Kalo. Then this age of Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming as the most Karunya, the merciful incarnation. Samar Bhayitum. Ujvala Rasa. He's distributing the highest, the most effulgent rasa, Ujvala Rasa. Bhakti to Hari 1, 2. Anarpitam shrim shrakruna ya vitira kalo samarpitam ujvala rasam svabhakti shriya. He's giving bhakti for himself. I mean, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us bhakti for his own self. I mean, we're all trying to do that also, trying to give everyone bhakti for our own self. The difference is that if we give anyone bhakti for ourselves, it wouldn't help them very much. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God himself, gives out bhakti for himself, that helps every living entity. Hari Paratha Sundara Dhuti Kandamba Sandipitaha Sadari Deakandare Spuratu Vasakinandana. May that Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sati Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy, bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So the word here is Shiram. Shiram means Shirat. Shiram, Shirat. For a long, long time. So many incarnations have come in this day of Brahma, but only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears and he gives love for himself. Of course, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago and displayed his pastimes. But we don't find very many people taking it very seriously. More or less, we get a good idea of what Krishna's like, but his pastimes are like, at least from the external point of view. No, when Krishna appeared, he appeared in the house of Nanda Maharaj, or first in the prison of Vasudeva, and then he's transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj and displays his pastimes. Then he's transferred to Mathura, then to Dwarka, and then there's a disappearance. But there's no methodology really explained for us, because those who are associating with Krishna in Vrindavan are eternals, are either from the category of Nitya Siddhas, such as Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, and her friends, then many other persons who have been elevated from the platform of conditioned souls to the platform of associates, being trained up in the pastimes. The Munichari Gopis, the Vedichari Gopis, the Rishichari Gopis. But there's no method, more or less given, by which we can become eligible also to join Krishna in some universe in his pastimes. So although anyone who reads these pastimes, Prabhupada said in the Krishna book, they'll naturally be attracted. The materialists, when they hear about these nice pastimes of Krishna with young girls, they're very beautiful. They're taking place in a very beautiful place with nice fragrant lotus flowers, and bees humming, and fragrant flowers from the forest, and there's nice cows, and there's nice river Jamuna, and the cow, her boys, everyone loves Krishna, and it's a very beautiful pastime. And then the devotees, who are a little bit more advanced, by hearing these pastimes, they become inspired and enlivened how to make progress in devotional service, And the first class devotee will be able to actually relish these pastimes, because just by hearing about them, they're actually there in the pastimes. They're actually experiencing them with their transcendental senses. But how we ourselves can come to this platform of either becoming enlivened and enlightened by these pastimes, or actually relishing them just by hearing about them. Therefore, Lord Krishna was thinking that I've displayed these pastimes to the benefit of the upliftment of the whole world, but very few people have taken them very seriously. Therefore, he decided to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us the methodology by which we can actually take advantage of Krishna's pastimes as he appeared 5,000 years ago. Therefore, he comes and he manifests the Sankirtan movement, of which, in the current time right now, this is the extreme mercy of Krishna's representatives, who are Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, then he spread the Hare Krishna mantra, the Hare Krishna movement, practically all over India. And of course, nowadays we may think that there was no place else in the world except for India. India, of course, was quite large at that time. But there are many other parts of the world that were also formerly part of the Vedic culture. I think it's Govinda gave me these some kind of files from 1491 or something, which explains about how the American Indians had extensive, further millions and millions of American Indians, and they had more or less a comparatively advanced civilization. They had agriculture and they worshipped demigods, etc. Especially in South America, that was quite clear that they were demigod worshippers. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy did not go to South America, nor did it go to North America, nor did it go probably to places like Australia, or did it go to even, I don't even know, reach to Indonesia or other parts of India, Cambodia, which were all part of the Vedic culture. In any case, Srila Prabhupada has taken the same method and he's expanded it all over the world. So everyone gets a chance to chant Hare Krishna, and at the same time the philosophy is available by which one can take advantage of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the Hare Krishna mantra and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, very rapidly it disappeared and was taken up by Prakriti Sahajyas. So by the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's appearance, Vaishnavism had been considered a religion for very low class people. There were the Gauranga Nagaris, the Sakhi Bekis. Sakhi Bekis, is anyone who the Sakhi Bekis are? You know a Sakhi Beki if you saw one? What do they look like?
Dressed like gopis.
Yes, they dress like gopis. And the Gauranga Nagaris and the Prakriti Sahajyas, the whole, more or less, especially West Bengal, Bengal was just overridden by Prakriti Sahajyas. They thought that they could imitate, just like the Babajis and Radhakund, usually the lowest class men and the lowest class women would be at Radhakund. The highest place in the universe, we have the lowest people in the universe there. The Babajis would go there, but actually, the Babajis were often people looking for ladies, because they knew there are a certain class of ladies who go to Radhakund looking for Babajis to seduce. So the low-class men would go and dress up as Babajis so they could be seduced by the low-class women looking for Babaji to seduce. Or in English it says it takes two to tango. Tango is a dance. But that's not the purpose of Radhika. But more or less, that's what Vaishnavism was considered. A religion for people interested in sense gratification. Subhatuno Thakur especially was the first one to try to re-establish the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by writing extensive literatures about what is the science of Krishna consciousness and to attract intelligent people to take it up. That was followed by his son, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda, who extensively spread the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, especially in India, and then Śrīla Prabhupāda was able to expand Krishna consciousness around the world. But a very essential part of that is proper understanding. Not just philosophical understanding, but the mood of devotion, the mood of service, rather than that of sense gratification. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda, he spoke in very elegant words. Sometimes it was said, which I don't know about the whole story, because he had very intelligent followers, he had all kinds of followers. But the message was not simply a philosophical message, it wasn't simply a work message, it was a very special message of service towards Krishna, a service attitude towards the Supreme. Otherwise, one could use jnana, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda explains, and Prabhupāda also used to explain, that religion without philosophy is just fanaticism or sentimentalism, and philosophy without religion is just dry speculation. Therefore, this Bhaktivedanta, to have devotion based upon real knowledge, is a very rare quality. To have a service attitude towards the Supreme based upon actual knowledge of the Supreme and our relation to Him is very rare in this world. Generally, people take God as an order supplier, or they take God completely out of the picture by saying that everyone is God, or God is simply love, or God is the light, or whatever. But to understand who God actually is, and to be able to understand the intricacies of loving God, and the intricacies of the relationships between the different living entities in Krishna, is a very subtle science based upon prema, which begins with some faith and then gradually develops into something, association with devotees, learning the science. But along with that, learning the science means that we're taking along with us many misconceptions, of which we can see the first misconception is I am this body. So in one sense, we're trying to learn a very subtle science of prema. At the same time, we're entangled to some extent also in the Bali concept of life. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's spreading the Sankirtan movement, engaging people in the Sankirtan movement who have the Bali concept of life, but by this engagement, then gradually he's bringing them to the highest platform of life. Of course, the difficulty is we may become like a prakriti sahajya, or we may not get free from those tendencies, and we may think just by externally engaging in these activities, then we've reached the goal already. Or for them, they think just by hearing about Radha and Krishna's pastimes, that is the goal. But it's not the goal, or anything more than if you have a bottle of honey and you lick the outer outside of the bottle and think that you're tasting honey, then you're wrong. You may have a bottle of honey, but you have to be able to open the jar and then get some of the honey out before you can actually taste it. Therefore, although we have the jar, we have the honey, everything is presented to us in the Sankirtan movement, we also have to know the science well enough that we're able to open up the jar and taste the honey within. So one of the ways of tasting the jar is not to give up sense gratification. That acts as a covering over the honey, so we can't actually taste it. On the other hand, if we're in the Bali concept of life, it's going to be understood that to a certain extent, as long as we haven't come to the platform of Nishya, we're going to be bothered by the pushing of our senses and the conceptions arising out of our misconceptions arising out of our mind. I don't know if anyone has noticed that, but sometimes our senses are impelling us to do things we shouldn't do. Anyone ever experienced that? Around half the devotees. And sometimes our minds come up with all kinds, well, our minds every moment are producing all kinds of conceptions. Practically, because we're so much absorbed in these conceptions, we don't even notice it. We really have to sit down and have a little session of honesty with ourselves to find out where we're actually at. Does anyone, just like, what happens if someone contemplates the objects of the senses? Does anyone know what happens eventually? What happens?
So one contemplates on the senses and one creates attachment. And this attachment, from this attachment come lust. And from lust, then one comes anger, and from anger, by anger one loses one's intelligence,
delusion,
and then one loses one's intelligence,
then loses
and
his memory,
one loses his memory and falls down.
Yes, a few problems happen. Life becomes a little bit more difficult than it already is. And when do we contemplate the objects of the senses? Well, as soon as we forget Krishna, unless you're sitting in the middle of a jungle, sitting on a kusa grass and covering it with a deer skin, sitting on it, looking at the tip of your nose for around 60,000 years to 180,000 years, as soon as we stop thinking about Krishna, at once, we start looking around and contemplating objects. That may manifest itself as, she loves me not, or he is my enemy, I'll get rid of him, and my other enemies will also, I'll get rid of them, or so much I have today, and I'll gain more in the future. Different subtle and then gross manifestations of the modes of ignorance and passion. Therefore, as long as one has not come to the liberated stage, then one will be more or less sometimes in Krishna consciousness, sometimes struggling with our consciousness, sometimes bewildered by our consciousness, sometimes illuminated, sometimes enlivened, so many different states of consciousness. So to guide us through this maze of the illusory energy, because it is just like a maze that we're trying to get through, we need the guidance of devotees. We need the association of devotees. We need the encouragement of devotees. We need the explanation of the devotees, the example of devotees. And then gradually we can become guided through this maze of illusory energy. Therefore, the acharyas had given us elaborate instructions and given us their association by which we can become guided. And guided, especially, Prabhupada emphasized certain things. What does someone think Prabhupada emphasized more than anything else? Yes, that is. And what service Prabhupada probably emphasized more than any other service?
Book distribution,
Harinam, especially. And then he also emphasized, for instance, educating our children in Gurukul, training up to become Brahmins, agricultural projects. Prabhupada more or less gave us a very practical lifestyle. For instance, people can live on a farm, cultivate their own food, chant Hare Krishna. They can preach, and if they're living in the cities, they can preach. And even if they don't know the philosophy, they can distribute his books, or they can preach, or they can do art and theater and drama, so many different types of service to the Sankirtan movement. And what's the ultimate objective of all the preaching? What are we trying to convince people? Yes, that. But what is, people can chant Hare Krishna, but that would be sufficient. What are we trying to convince people of? What's that? Yeah, who is he? Yes, that's the whole idea. Just convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything else follows from that. If Krishna is God, then he must be the owner of everything. And therefore all this mistaken consciousness that I'm from America, or I'm from Slovenia, or I'm from Croatia, or Russia, or Indonesia, or China, it's all a false conception. Because there is no such thing. It's all God's property. We've just artificially divided everything up by mental concoction. If Krishna is God, then everything here belongs to him. And since everything belongs to him, everything should be utilized for his pleasure. And what is Krishna's purpose? What are all the incarnations? Why is Krishna bothering to come to the material world? Does he need a vacation from the local Vrindavan every 6 months or something? Herding cows every day, he has to come do something else. He needs a break. Or deep in his heart, he has, or Prabhupada once said, Krishna comes, he cursed the two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, were cursed to take birth three times in the material world. One time they took birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Another time they took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And then they took birth as Shishupal and Dantavakra. So what Prabhupada said one time, the reason why Krishna had these gatekeepers cursed is because he likes to fight. And there's no one to fight with in the spiritual world. Therefore, sometimes some of his associates come, so Krishna can fight, and Prabhupada said, keep his body fit. It's a joke, actually. Krishna has a neat spiritual body. So is that why Krishna is coming, to keep his body fit? Do a little exercise, he's, you know, eating too much, the food's too good in Goloka Vrindavan. Getting a little fat, he decided to come here and do a little exercise. So why does Krishna manifest incarnated in the material world? Paritranayas, I don't know. Well, basically, it all boils down, as although Krishna says, Paritranayas, sadhunam, vinashaya, tajiskritam, dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Although Krishna says, I've come here to protect the faithful, kill the atheists, and to reestablish religious principles, ultimately it's just to give mercy to his devotees, to bring his devotees back to the spiritual world, to make devotees, and then to bring them back to the spiritual world. The demons he can kill just by his external energy. He doesn't need any other methodology. He doesn't have to come personally and kill them. His material energy can wipe out millions of demons at one time. But he likes to come. He likes to make devotees. He's the biggest bhakti maker that there is. He's the head of the bhakti program. And to bring them back to the spiritual world. So actually Krishna is coming here to deliver the conditioned souls. And therefore, his assistance, in order to do service to Krishna in this world, what is the best service? Yes, but what is the best servant to his servant? What's that? Yes, preaching, assisting the preaching, that's also preaching. Yaidam paramam guyam madhvaktesh babadasviti bhakti mayi puram kritva mame vaishakti samshayaha. Then in this world there is no one more dear to me than he who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita, nor in the future will anyone become so dear. Tasmat. No one will ever become more dear than one who's trying to assist me in bringing the other conditioned souls back to the spiritual kingdom. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say when he was asked what his mission is? Yari Deka, Yari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh. Amar Aga Guruhana Tare Dej. And when Prabhupada was asked about who will be the future gurus in our movement, who should be the gurus now that you're physically incapacitated, and in the future who will be guru? In May 1977, what's the most clear thing he said in that conversation about who will be guru?
GBC.
The GBC. No, not necessarily. Hopefully they'll become guru. They'll be guru also. But he said, the principle of guru, if you look at that conversation, is the same principle he gives whenever he was practicing, asked the same question. He quoted again, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Aga Guruhaya Tari Dej. That the actual guru in our movement is those who repeat the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who tell people about Krishna. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna and become guru, and that way deliver your land. And it's positive proof. What was the last statement recorded about Prabhupada? Who will be our next leader? What's that? The last recorded statement by Prabhupada about who our next leader will be. It wasn't me. It was someone else. No. Some Indian gentleman, this is in November 1977, they asked Prabhupada if they could speak to him privately. And Prabhupada, somehow or another, it was arranged, they had their private meeting. And in that private meeting, they had asked Prabhupada, without his servants being present, who the next leader will be. Because, naturally, people are young and ambitious. Everyone wants to be the leader. Everyone wants to be the savior. But Prabhupada told them, what did Prabhupada tell them?
One who follows my instructions.
Yes, he said, the next leader will be one who follows the previous leader. Those who follow the previous, he said, all my disciples, all my followers, they'll be the next leader according to how much they follow my instructions. It's not a question of being appointed by the DVC as initiating guru. That's a service also, a valuable service, or being any service, from being a DVC member to a temple president to becoming the temple commander or a book distributor. Those are all services that are given to us according to our natural art. sometimes there are qualifications, and sometimes there are propensities. They're all services, but that doesn't necessarily make us a guru in the real sense. The real sense is how much we've actually understood and followed the instructions of the previous leader. That makes us the next leader. Otherwise, we can see many prominent devotees within our society, and many devotees who weren't so prominent, they left the movement because they didn't either try to understand or they didn't understand very deeply the message coming into simple succession, or they misunderstood and they didn't apply it properly, the message. But many devotees who were seemingly unknown, insignificant, they led glorious lives or are leading glorious lives in our society because they understood the message and they're following it. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had one devotee he initiated. Is his name now. He was a gardener. He'd take out the garbage and he'd take care of the gardens, weeding them and things like that. But he's always chanting Hare Krishna because he was engaged in humble service. So one time one of his prominent sannyasis was asking Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he was a retired lawyer and a very intelligent man, he wanted to be trained up in the philosophy. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada sent him to this gardener to be trained up in the philosophy. So he went to this gardener and the gardener thought maybe there was some mistake to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. He must have made a mistake. Because, you know, I'm going to train you in the philosophy. I can't hardly ever read the books. So he went back to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta. He said, no, you go back and you learn the philosophy from him. So he went back there and he explained the philosophy as he knew it. He said, I'm just constantly engaged in service with my body, my mind, my words. I'm always, whatever I can do, I'm trying to serve the mission of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. He was only first initiated, but he was constantly engaged in the mission, doing whatever service they asked him to do, constantly chanting Hare Krishna. Because of that, and because I'm always doing the service, I'm always inspired to chant Hare Krishna. So then this sannyasi realized that he's actually understood the philosophy. This is the philosophy. Utilize your body, your mind, your words, your life, your wealth, whatever you have in Krishna's service, and this way you'll actually become a pure devotee of Krishna. That is the philosophy. So it's so simple, but sometimes it's so difficult to understand. So that's just my very brief introduction. But tomorrow we'll go over basically three things. That why the internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeling, because Krishna wanted to know three things. What were those three things?
He wants to know the greatness of love Shri Radha.
Yeah. Srimad Radharani loves Krishna, and when we love someone, there's a lot of pleasure in loving someone. When we feel our own love, we feel good about ourselves. If you hate someone, you may think something's wrong, unless you're into a hate club or something. Generally, when we love someone, we feel good. Therefore, they sing about love. But no one has greater love than Srimati Radharani. And of course, the object of love is Krishna, who is the most lovable object. But her love is completely selfless and pure, and is spontaneous, and is always and everywhere. And therefore, the love is unlimited and gives unlimited pleasure to Srimati Radharani. At the same time, Krishna is the most lovable object, and therefore he has qualities which are unlimited and unlimitedly lovable. And she relishes them more than anyone because of her unlimited capacity for love. And at the same time, Krishna, when he feels Srimati Radharani's love, he becomes inspired by it. And he loves Srimati Radharani. He becomes ecstatic feeling her love, and then Srimati Radharani feels his love, and she relishes his love more than he can relish her love. So to feel the ecstasy of feeling Krishna's love, to feel the ecstasy of Krishna's qualities, and to feel the ecstasy of the love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna, Krishna advents himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who feels this love of Srimati Radharani more than Srimati Radharani? What's that? No, the Mandras. Anyhow, the devotees, I mean, I don't know if they, but it says that when they see Radha and Krishna together, Krishna is associates, like the Mandaris and Radharani is associates, they feel 10 million times more pleasure than Srimati Radharani does. So what's the best position in the universe? What's that? Yeah, so become a member of ISKCON. So after the seminar, we're going to charge admission fees to become a member of ISKCON. And leave the Sukhaprabhu and myself and Ananda who make this deal will become rich. But actually, the best position in the universe to become a devotee, to become a member of ISKCON, and to take Prabhupada's words seriously. So I'll stop there. And we have our membership form outside. Grandharaj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Or Pimanande.